Welcome to every one of you out there that are studying along here in the book of Revelations with us. We appreciate every one of you. We have examined the 10 unseen merchant kings of the world, the real politics of the world, and their deceptions that they try to throw out here, and their commodities that they control, even all the gold, silver, wine, and oil, and slaves and souls of men that these 10 unseen merchant kings, one of them being the Antichrist, control here in the last days. But in 19, we start to get our victory. There's more and more talk here in 19 about our victory over this ungodly world system set up by the Antichrist through Satan, through the dragon, the terrible people that went out and got their mark of the beast, and they're worshiping the image and all that, and they're cast down here. So here in 19, we have God is being praised for judging the great whore and avenging the blood of his saints, capital S, the marriage of the Lamb. There we are. That's the new Jerusalem coming to earth, the North Star coming to earth. And also a warning here to not worship the angel, okay? The 17, the souls called to the great slaughter. All right, so there we go. And this is verse 1. It says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." That's four of those. "For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." Okay? Now, once again, we went into this fornication, and it is an intimate relationship with the ungodly spirits of the earth, and the worst of those is Lucifer. So you're being intimate, if you want to call it that, intimate with Lucifer. Satan, it's all the same. Or any of the other fallen angels that would have you worship them. The first measurement of an angel is all the godly angels will give all the reverence directly to Christ and will absolutely not allow you to give them any of the credit. They just won't. They love Christ, and they serve Christ like you do and I do. All right, so, and this whore is not an actual lady, no. It is the representative, we being the bride of Christ, the virgin bride, and this being an apostate, a replacement, a corruption, a corruptible religion, little r, to deceive the masses through Satan. And that's called whoring. Anytime you go to other gods, little g, that is whoring after those other gods. Because our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, is a jealous God and will not allow reverence of any of the fallen angels. So here. All right. So, and they committed these terrible, terrible murders over the years, and the murders of the saints, the murder of the unborn children, the terrible sacrifices of blood on their high places and valleys, okay? And so this day of judgment's been coming. God has been very patient for the fruit of the earth. And this is our victory march here in the book of Revelation. And three, you get more of that. It says, "And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever." Now, you see, this judgment and this smoke will go on for a symbol of our victory and the, a sign of the fall of the people worshiping Lucifer. Okay? And it's going to be here forever. That's throughout the Bible. In 4 it says, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Okay? So once again, you see these four great cherubs, white, black, red, and pale. And here they are worshiping Christ like we do. And the 24 elders, that they're still here. Look here, and there they are worshiping Christ also with us as we worship Christ. In 5 it says, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Okay. 7 it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb, capital L, is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And that's the virgin bride that we are all part of. We are this bride of Christ here in 7. 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Okay? And that righteousness is that Holy Ghost clothing. Okay? Or armor. And that's all symbolic, although it's real, but it's a symbol of the Holy Ghost in you, saint, capital S. All right, and notice that the linen was given to Christ there at the crucifixion. And we're to what? Pick up our cross and follow him. So it's a clothing that we do not appear naked, okay, before God, because we are covered in his Spirit. That gift of the Holy Ghost. And there it is. And here is the marriage. 9 it says, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb, period, capital L. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Okay. All right, so this is the angel talking. Now listen to this part. And this is why we say the occultists worship these angels. They get their secrets from the angels. Science is married to these creatures. It just is. You go back not that long ago and you see that Einstein himself was a Kabbalist. And these people were not only going with the physical elements of the world, but getting their secrets from these fallen angels. Now that's a fact. And it don't take a lot of research today to see that. There is a marriage between the occult and science that just cannot be denied. And they're not denying it. You go back a short space here, I say a couple hundred years, and you'll see that. And you'll see them admit that. Why do you think they want to contact the creatures through that porthole they're bragging about over in the CERN's collider? They're interested in communicating with these creatures from the other dimension. And they don't hide that. All right? That's just the way it is. So listen to this. In 10 it says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Did you get that? And that's one of my complaints. One of my complaints with what they call organized Christianity. And that they taught everybody you couldn't understand prophecy. Yeah, you can't understand it. See? And drove everybody away from reading the real Bible with their Antichrist, Westcott and Hort Bible versions to perverts, to occultists that waltzed in there to destroy Christianity, haters of Christianity, tied directly to Darwin and Madame Helena Blavatsky and Manly Hall. Okay, all those people were against Christianity. And Westcott and Hort, they say, trick the theologians, oh my. Yeah, those experts got tricked, okay. So anyway, they all worship these angels. And I've had the occultists come to me and try to bridge that gap by saying, oh, the angels, remember the angels. And hey, those angels are your fellow servants. You don't reverence these angels. Okay, and so we squashed that, but they tried to use angel worship to muddy the water, to marry the Kabbalah with Christianity, which is impossible. Baal is against God. God is against Baal. That's just a fact. So when you have Kabbalah, Baal is God, it entails all the elements of Satanism. It surely does. Sure it does. And they worship these spirits. And the worst of those spirits is Lucifer. But here you can't axe prophecy out of the Bible. Listen, look at this marriage here between the spirit of prophecy and the testimony of Jesus. The two things are the same. And so when you went to the temples, as I went along with some people to go into the temple, they said, if you want to talk about prophecy, you come on Thursday night. We don't talk about prophecy here, see? And that's impossible. That's impossible. Our doctrine is riddled with prophecy from one end to the other of the 77 books. It just is. You can't push prophecy out of the Bible. It just doesn't work. Okay? So the fact is that you can't have Christ without his doctrine. And you can't have his doctrine without prophecy. And that's projected right here in verse 10, really clearly. And on we go on 11, it says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Again, this is the same exact description that we got in chapter 6 and in chapter 18 in Psalms. We taught that clearly. Well, look at this. The Antichrist comes in with a peace agreement. He don't come in like this to conquer. He works subtly. He works in stealth. He makes his peace agreement through the ram and the he-goat prophecy. And there he starts to seduce and use flatteries and gain his foothold and become strong with a small amount of people. That's right there in Daniel. He does not come in like this. This is Jesus Christ. He was there on a cherub on the white horse, okay, there in chapter 6 as the seals were opened, okay, and he didn't, there was no changing of the horses here. This is the same horse, the same Savior, the same God Almighty, Son of the Father, here on his horse. That's the way it is. And those people teaching that need to straighten up right now and quit teaching the Antichrist doctrine and trying to muddy up the Bible. All right. The people I'm talking about that have interjected this horrible teaching that the white horse is the Antichrist, they did that on purpose. That is absolute. Even David Jeremiah and Hal Lindsey and Grant Jeffries and all those people still, they are destroyers of prophecy. They just are. And that's what they, you went to this church and you went in this big old temple, huge temple. And what did they tell you? If you want prophecy, just read Hal Lindsey's book, which he didn't write. He never wrote one word of his books. They were all ghostwritten for him. And today when he gets up to speak and to teach, he looks like the cat that swallowed the canary. He's so scared up there because he's a dunce. He's the Fauci of Bible prophecy. He's an absolute idiot that calls himself the father of modern day prophecy. Yes, sir. Hal Lindsey. All right. And he should just stay back there as a tugboat captain. He might have been able to do that correctly. But he sure has helped to destroy people's knowledge over prophecy. And I really hate him over that. Or any of the other people that are destroying the Bible. Did I say hate? That's what I mean. I'd be a liar like they are if I told you otherwise. When you destroy prophecy in the Bible, you destroy people. And I hate you over that. Okay? He's going to judge and he's going to make war here. And that's what he was doing on the first of the seals. Didn't unleash the Antichrist. No. See, there they are destroying your scriptures for you. But in 12, the number of tribes of Israel, the number of the apostles, we have more description of Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Or Joshua, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Okay, so there's this name, and the Antichrist can't muddy it like they have tried to muddy his other earthly name, Joshua. And why Yahshua or Joshua? Well, that the J and the Y and H are interchangeable in Old English, and that's where we got the different pronunciations over that. But we all know who we're talking about, and here it comes. He's going to have this new name, and nobody can muddy that up today, can they? Because no one knows it except for himself. In 13, this is Isaiah 63:2, it says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Okay, so you see these words you're reading and I'm reading? This has spirit in it. It has Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost spirit in these words, folks. So when you attack God's doctrine, like Westcott and Horrible Hort did, you're attacked in Jesus Christ himself. And you're going to pay for that. Okay, now here comes the armies, the 10,000 times 10,000 of thousands here. That numbers all through the Bible. 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. All right, now here comes this out of his mouth. This is throughout the Bible. It's in the vivid description of it there in chapter 2 of 2nd Esdras. 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Okay, so there is the harvest. And this fits right into the similitude language. The first sickle goes in, and we are gathered to Christ. We are with his number forever. And then the second sickle gathers those people into the Valley of Jehoshaphat or Armageddon or the Valley of Decision. And there they have zero chance. The fire of his wrath will come out of his mouth like the witnesses. Fire come of the Holy Ghost comes right out there and destroys the wicked. And that's going to be the outcome for the people marching in there to destroy Christ there in Jerusalem as he hits that Mount of Olives and the great earthquake and the splitting of the earth. In fact, the biggest earthquake to ever hit the earth. In 16 it says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now here in the first printing of the King James 1611, we have it in great big old capital letters here standing out. It's beautiful. In 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Okay, now this is throughout prophecy. All throughout the Old Testament, how the birds are going to feast on the great men and warriors. And then there's the burying of the bones that goes on. This is quite a destruction from God Almighty. And here it is. And notice the angel in the sun. We've been talking about that. We've been talking about how the sun is here to surface the earth. It rotates around the firmament of the earth in a clockwise manner like the stars do. And it does all kinds of good things for the earth. And it can do bad things, as we saw there with the scorching the ungodly with the heat. Okay? But here we are calling the fowls. Hey, did you know the fowls are the good guys with us here in the Bible in the Battle of Armageddon during the tribulation? God's going to use the birds to on in his army. And here it is in 18. And he's talking to the birds now. He's gathering them together. He's saying that ye may eat the flesh of kings, capital K, and the flesh of captains, capital C, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And those are the people that are against Christ. They have gotten their mark of the beast. They have worshipped that image. They are in bed with Lucifer. Yes, indeed. And here they go down. And here we go into 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Okay, so this is that gathering. It's called Armageddon. It's a gathering there. Go to the second chapter in Psalms, and you'll see the same thing here where they believe they can overthrow Christ. The Lucifer has deceived the nations into coming here against Christ and to destroy all the Jews there in Israel, okay? And it just is not going to happen. Because in 20, listen to the outcome here. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Okay, so there, that Battle of Armageddon just didn't turn out very well for them, did it? No, it is not going to turn out well for them. They are going down. And this is how important this mark is. This jab. Remember what I said, charax. Sharpened to a point. a stake, right? Well, what's that? What is that needle if it is not sharpened to a point and a stake? An engraving, impression, a mark, all right? And it actually is the number of a person involved in this. A copy, char egma, a scratch or etching, stamp or badge of servitude. And for those people that are stupid enough to keep jabbing away and they'll get their implant chip and their AI computer system, hey, there's a lot of dummies here going down. Okay, they just are, and they're worshiping Lucifer. Some of them don't know who they worship. But you got to serve somebody, all right? And this is happening here to the people that aren't written in the number. They're not called true, okay? They're just not. In 21, it's, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Once again, he comes back to make war against the world. That description, to take that back there in chapter 6, and say that's the Antichrist, that is pure blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, folks. It just is. So, with there, we got this victory, and we got another description of the Battle of Armageddon and the gathering of the ungodly against Jesus Christ here. So it explained again some of the things that we've been over here in the book of Revelation. So that being said, we're going to talk about Satan being bound for the 1,000 years in chapter 20. And then the Gog and Magog thing. All right. Okay. And then the final destruction of the people following the devil. Okay, and then the second death, etc. So we'll get all that in chapter 20. I'll see you there, folks. Bye-bye.